Perek Gimel Mishnah Vav. Inosin kli tachas haner lekabel bo es hashemen. Gimnosno mibor yom mutar. Mishnah Vav begins as follows. One may not place a vessel underneath a lamp in order to receive oil. What happens if a person places a vessel underneath a lamp in order to catch this dripping oil? What would you be doing? You will in fact be rendering the plate, be rendering this vessel, this kli, unmovable over the rest of Shabbos, because something muksa, namely the oil, has dripped on top of it. Since this oil was set aside to be used for the nair, for this lamp, it would not be permitted to use it for other purposes. Hence, when it hits the plate or the vessel that one places underneath the lamp, you are effectively destroying, you are being mevato klim heichano, you are effectively destroying this vessel for further use on Shabbos, and destroying this kli is prohibited on Shabbos. However, if one would have placed this kli before Shabbos, then it would be permitted. However, although it is permitted to place the platter there, the vessel there, eine osin mimena lefisha eno min hamuchon. You may not benefit from the oil that dripped onto this plate, onto this vessel, because inominamuchon has not something that was prepared for Shabbos use, and it is considered muksa because it was set aside for the kindling of the lamp. Mishnah continues, Mitaltalin near Chadash Avalo Yashan. It is permissible for a person to carry, to move a brand new lamp, one that has not been used yet, because there are permissible uses for it on Shabbos. It's not considered a muksa. However, avalo yashon is forbidden to use and to move, a lamp that has been used already. Why is that? The commentators explain, because it is muksa machmas mius. The moment you use a lamp once that has a little bit of soot on it, has a little bit of stain on it, and therefore it's considered a little bit disgusting, and therefore muksa and prohibited to move on Shabbos. Rabbi Shimon Omer, kol haneros mitaltalin. Rabbi Shimon, however, says, he argues, and Rabbi Shimon in fact says, no, kol haneros mitaltalin. All lamps, one is permitted to move on Shabbos, whether they're chadash, whether they're new, whether they're yashan, whether they're old. There's one exception. The only lamp that one is not permitted to move is chutz min haner hadolek b'shabbos, a lamp which is kindling, a lamp which is lit. Such a lamp is prohibited to move on Shabbos. Why? What is Rabbi Shimon's concern? Zera shema yechabe. Perhaps the lamp will become extinguished. However, generally speaking, Rabbi Shimon does not hold of moksa machmas mius. Rabbi Shimon is not concerned with moksa because it is disgusting, nor moksa machmas iser, nor is he upset, nor is he concerned with the fact that this lamp was once used for something which was prohibited. So therefore, even a ner yashan, an old lamp, would be permitted to move. The only one which is forbidden to move would be one that is actually kindling. What is the halacha? The halacha is, if a lamp was kindling when Shabbos started, even if it was extinguished earlier on Shabbos, since at the time Shabbos began, it was considered something which was forbidden, for the rest of Shabbos it is forbidden to move. However, it is true, a ner yashan, a lamp that was used already the previous week, a few weeks ago, that would be permitted to move on another Shabbos. The Mishnah concludes, Nosim kli tachas haner lekabel nitzosos. However, v'lo yitzon lesochu mayim mipnei shehu mechabe. The Mishnah concludes, it is permitted for a person to place a vessel underneath the lamp, even on Shabbos, in order to receive the sparks, in order to catch the sparks that from the flame. Why is it permitted to do so, even though they were to fall on the vessel? What about bimavato klum heichano? What about nullifying, destroying this kli, rendering it movable for the rest of Shabbos? You're not concerned, in the case of placing a vessel to catch the sparks, simply because these mitotos really are not considered of anything of substance, and therefore it does not render the kli immovable for the rest of Shabbos, and is therefore permitted to place a kli underneath the lamp in order to ensure that the sparks prevent a fire. However, there's a caveat. A person may not place water on top of this plate, on top of this vessel, because it might come to extinguish, because it might hasten the extinguishing of the sparks on Shabbos. That is in fact prohibited and usher to do. The commentaries in fact even say not only is it prohibited to place this the water on top of a vessel to extinguish the sparks on Shabbos, but there's a gzera. The rabbis made a decree that even Erev Shabbos it is prohibited to do so, because it might leave for someone to do it on Shabbos. Because a person might say, oh, it's not really that important or that significant, and therefore they might come to do it on Shabbos, even though generally, as we discussed earlier, it is permitted to perform various acts before Shabbos, even though it looks as if there's a malacha being done on Shabbos. That is permissible. A person is not obligated to ensure that all of their kelim, all of their vessels, and everything that they own rests on Shabbos. However, when it comes to placing water on a plate, which might lead to extinguishing the lamp, we are concerned that because this might be deemed slightly insignificant, one might come to do so even on Shabbos itself, therefore both before and on Shabbos, it is usher to do so. Perek Daled, Mishnah Aleph. As we discussed a couple of chapters earlier, not only did the rabbis institute restrictions for leaving food on a stove before Shabbos, they also restricted how a person may insulate hot food. To keep the food warm, it was common in those days, in the times of Mishnah, for people to cover their food with hot ashes. The ash would begin to cool down, it would stoke the embers. And therefore, to prevent people from stoking ashes on Shabbos, the rabbis prohibited insulating food directly on Shabbos. However, it's permissible to insulate food before Shabbos begins, so long as the insulating material doesn't produce or spread any type of heat. Insulating that might add or spread heat were prohibited from being used. The Mishnah, Perek Daled, Mishnah Aleph, lists materials which add heat, mosif cho, mosif hevel, and those that just maintain the heat and temperature as is. Bameh tomnin uvameh ein tomnin. What materials are permitted to use for hatmana, to insulate foods? What materials may a person not use to insulate them? Ein tomnin, a person may not insulate lo vagefes, not with pulp from pressed olives, velo vizevel, not with manure, velo vimelach, not with salt, velo vaseed, not with lime, velo vachol, and not with sand. Veilachim, vein yevashim, whether or not they are wet or dry. Lo v'teven, not with straw, lo v'zagim, not with grape skins, lo v'mochim, nor with wool or cotton fluff, lo v'asavim, not with grass. Zman shehem lachim, when they are wet, when they are moist, lo tomni behem, kishehem yevashim. All these, this list over here, you may insulate when they are in fact dry. What is considered moist? What's considered lach? But there's in fact a discussion is that lach is the wetness, is the moisture something which is naturally moist? Or is it perhaps, what about an item that once it was dried, water fell on it? Or perhaps dew fell on it? Is that considered not an issue and it would be in fact permitted to use them to be tomnin these various food items? However, if they are dry, since they do not increase the heat, they would be permitted to insulate, to be tomnin with these items. Tomnin b'ksus, v'aperos, v'kanfayona, v'in sores, shal harashim, v'in ores, shal pishtan, daka. You may insulate hot foods, with clothing, with grains, with pigeon feathers, or with carpenter's sawdust, or with fine flax combings. Rabbi Yehuda oser badaka. Rabbi Yehuda, however, prohibits fine flax combings, matir bagasa, but he permits large combings. The halacha does not seem to follow Rabbi Yehuda.